usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need reminders of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we do welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this online, Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially in the world. And, of course, one of the interesting things is that the latest figures are out. It shows that consumer confidence is pretty good. About 52% of the people seem to be optimistic about the way the economy is going. They may not like what's happening over in Iraq or the immigration issue, but the economy doesn't seem to be too bad for those who have jobs. Certainly, we're continuing to build a lot of planes up in Seattle. That's a large part of our exports. But certainly, on the other hand, the automotive industry, at least for American automobile manufacturers, is not doing too well. But as we've talked about in the past, you want to watch the canary in the mine shaft. You want to watch what's happening to gold and silver, because this reflects the stability of our currency. And if you're going to have a stable society, you have to have a stable currency. Gold was up $10 today. Silver was up probably 50 cents an ounce, somewhere there, maybe 60 cents or more. And obviously, they're beginning to run again, reflecting a loss of confidence in the dollar. And, of course, the dollar was down on international markets in the last couple of days as China begins to raise the value of their yuan. And then, of course, we know that Warren Buffett apparently has invested something like $16 billion, that's billion dollars, betting the dollar is going to go down. Now, when the dollar goes down, it means that the cost of anything you buy from overseas goes up. It means that you've worked all your life for wealth, and that wealth is taken away from you by the destruction of the value of the American dollar. And certainly, the rising price and a shocking increase in the price of gold and silver reflects that. Of course, you're not hearing too much about that through the regular media when your evening news. They don't tell you what happened to gold and silver today because they don't want to draw your attention to it, because they don't want you to know what's really going on until it's far too late. Well, that is the background. Melody Cederstrom, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Well, are you getting a lot of calls here?
Yes, it has been extremely busy. And I think some of the most interesting calls that I've received are beginners. And we often talk about when gold reaches 850, how the general populace will begin the next stage of the bull market, to which where they will propel gold to the higher of lengths. Right now, I think what we're seeing in gold, we're just seeing gold playing catch up to the fair market value. It's been suppressed all these years, and it's just now catching up to the rest of the precious metals. We've seen some copper, zinc, nickel. They've all increased anywhere from 150 to 300% in the past 3 years. And there's been a lot of inflation-adjusted gold prices that gold should be anywhere from $1,750 to $2,100. So I think we're just seeing gold catching up.
Well, of course, the thing is that the dollar is losing value.
Yep.
But the average person really doesn't understand what's going on. And we keep getting these wonderful reports. Everything is just fine and things are looking better. And but, of course, I think we're in for some real problems. We'll be back here in just a moment. Here at Radio Liberty. Well, Melody, why don't you go ahead and tell us what your thoughts are as far as the general economy and all of this. What's the impact of rising oil prices going to have?
Well, you mentioned earlier about consumer confidence, and, I always wonder, who those consumers are, and most likely they're the upper echelon of society where, they don't have a lot of problems, but they also gauge the stock market. The stock market is very symbolic. And I truly believe that as long as that stock market shows, the Dow shows that it's maintaining and that it's, you know, close to 5-6 year highs, they feel everything is fine. They believe the misinformation and the flat out lies that are released by the administration about our economy, about the reports that signal that the economy is growing and you know, inflation is, they're keeping a cap on inflation and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. The list is, you know, gets longer and longer every day. But I do believe that has a big impact as far as what people believe and perceive as the truth and how the economy is going, and that's the Dow in itself. And so they do all that they can to keep that stock market at the level that it is, and they continue to throw money at it. Today we saw the euro 1.26, and that was up from 1.25 late yesterday. So we see the euro gaining strength, and the dollar, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the dollar tumbled to an 11-month low against the euro and bond prices today. So we saw it reflect in gold. We saw gold up $17.70 today. It was the New York spot price close.
Where did it close?
$652.50.
That's a pretty high level.
Yes, it is. It's a real exciting level. It's just like, you know, for 10, 15 years, we've been, you know, telling people to buy gold, that this is going to happen. Now that it's happening, it's you realize all the major problems that we have to face and address, but I guess, you know, gold does have the bright side.
Right. Now, what about silver? Where does silver come?
Silver was up $1.04 at $13.61. So that came back over 8% today. Platinum was up $18 at $1,156. And then we also saw palladium up $13 at $376.
Well, of course, I think anybody only has to look and see what's happening to the oil prices to realize that this is going to have a real impact upon our economy. It's going to have an impact on farm products, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about what's going to happen as far as the increase in oil prices is concerned. With the increasing prices of gasoline and oil, why this is going to have a profound impact on our economy. Now, they say, well, nothing's happened yet. Well, it's going to happen. It's going to have an impact on the farmers. I mean, it's going to get so expensive that many of the farmers are not going to be able to plant their crops. It's going to have an impact on shipping. It's going to have an impact on the airlines again. And, of course, it's going to impact on the lives of the average American who is actually, of course, commuting back and forth to work, or has to drive a fair amount of miles. And, of course, what this is going to mean is he's going to have less and less money to spend for things. He's going to have to cut back on his purchases. And this, then, is going to begin to impact our economy. And if it impacts on our economy, it'll impact the economy of the rest of the world, because the United States is spending about 80% of what's being spent throughout the world today. We are the engine for the economies of the rest of the world. And when our economy begins to falter, why, so will the economies of the rest of the world. Now, certainly gold and silver prices are simply a barometer of what's going on. But as the dollar tumbles, why, the gold and silver will go up, irrespective of what happens throughout the rest of the world. What's happening on the world markets as far as gold is concerned? Do we have any idea what's happening in relationship to other currencies?
You see some currencies getting a little stronger. Naturally, I mentioned we see the euro getting stronger against the dollar. We continue to see all the oil producers, you know, we have that are holding a mountain of U.S. currency, and they know that they will need to replace those U.S. dollars with a commodity, and naturally that commodity will be gold. I mean, we have all our foreign countries that are scooping up gold. We have the Chinese citizens that have been given permission to purchase currencies, and we know they don't like paper. They understand what happens when you have fiat currencies. They understand what gold does for their wealth, and so, you know, they're being encouraged to purchase gold. And so we see that going around the world. Also today, when I did my show with Bob today, he mentioned that the Iranian bourse is scheduled to open next week. And they had put that on a hold, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to him much, but they're scheduled to open that. They were supposed to do this the end of March, and they put it on hold. Of course, they were supposed to do it once before also, and they put it on hold. Well, I guess they made the announcement that they will begin it next week. So, again, more pressure on the dollar. And we have so many things that are unraveling in this country that that alone will most likely send gold and silver much, much higher in the very near future. Like I said, they're just catching up to where they've been. And when you apply these outside factors and these outside influences on it, it's just an incredible opportunity. And so many people, and you know, you read all these newsletters and everybody talks about corrections, and everybody, you know, I got calls today. Well, I thought gold always corrected and always slowed down during the spring and early summer. And it's like, folks, this isn't the same as every other spring and every other summer. This is the moment that we've talked about day in and day out. We can't compare 652 gold to 350 gold. You have to change your thinking and compare 652 to 1,000, to 1,500, to 2,000, and plus maybe. This is an opportunity for people. And not only is it an opportunity for people to be involved in one of the greatest bull markets ever, but it allows you to keep your wealth. It allows you to keep your purchasing power. This is the insurance policy. This is the time that gold was designed for. The insurance policy when things go bad. When your house burns down. When you have a car accident. This is the time gold is designed for, was meant to be from day one. And it's exciting to see it rise. It's exciting to see that it's doing what it's supposed to do. But then again, we always have the other side of that coin, and we have to face the problems. And it affects each and every one of us. It affects the people we love. It affects our family, our friends, our coworkers, and so many of them don't have a clue with what's going on. But one of these days, one of them begin to wake up, and they'll want to buy gold because they realize that gold will be the only thing that they can buy that will, I mean, why will they want to hold their dollar bills? Because the longer they hold them, the less value that they have. And those are the ones that will be buying gold and selling and bringing the price up to its, to the grand finale.
And I think, of course, people really need to understand there's all sorts of things going on that you're not hearing about. I got a call about 2 weeks ago from one of our listeners telling me about a new colored currency overseas, American dollars, that are red. They have a red back and a red front, and a lot of red on them. And, of course, I hadn't heard this story. I checked with Bob Chapman. He said he hadn't heard of it, but he emailed me later and said, yes, he had heard this story. But nobody had seen one. And, of course, I went about 2 weeks ago. I was in Southern California doing a conference down there, and we sold some things. And as I went through the money that we took in, here was one of these new $10 bills. And it's the most amazing bill. The front, it looks just like any other dollar bill, but there's no green on it. It's a reddish hue. On the back, they have replaced the pink all around the edge. There's a little green in the center, so it still has a green back, but it's predominantly, or about 50%, pink. And so, but you go ahead. We're going to have to do a little administration here. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
You go ahead and talk here for a minute or two, will you?
Okay, sure. So you talk about the, I saw that $10 bill. I didn't inspect it as much as I should have. But, yes, I saw the articles floating around about the new currencies. But ultimately, gold is going to be the currency of choice, and we can't forget that. Gold is recognized worldwide as a currency, and this is why you're seeing, as the other currencies depreciate, you'll see gold rise. That's why central banks buy gold. They don't buy silver, they buy gold. And it's so important for you to have gold in your portfolio. And we'll continue to see gold rise. And I was reading a newsletter today that they expected gold, if I can find that briefly here, that they would see gold up another 500%. Well, I'll take 1,000 first, and then we can move up from there. We'll take it in stages. But what I was mentioning earlier, when we talk about the people who don't have an understanding of what is happening, they've been conditioned to believe what they hear and read in the newspapers and what they hear on, you know, the CNBCs, is gradually and slowly they're waking up. I've probably had more inquiries from people who really don't understand, but they feel that there is something wrong, and they have this need to protect themselves. And they're at the stage of inquiring at this point in time. They just don't know what to do. And what's interesting is a lot of them, when they call, they seem to have limited funds. So it means that the guy who perhaps is being impacted by jobs being lost in his family, or maybe the guy that is being impacted by the high price of gasoline and driving to work, or the guy that is being affected by inflation. Those are the ones that are beginning to wake up, and it cannot be too soon that they do. So I've done some great comparisons on gold, and I hope that we can talk about that in a little bit. And I don't know if Dr. Stan is still there or not. Well, guess not. I guess I got the whole show to myself. And but everything is working for gold to continue its rise and to take its place as the world currencies. And again, as I mentioned, 10, 15 years we've been telling people to buy gold. Many of you listeners out there, you've become disillusioned. For all these years, you just saw it do nothing. You see it now at 652, and you think that it's going to take a correction. And I don't believe, Bob Chapman doesn't believe, and many professionals do not believe that we will see this. It's the real McCoy. We're in this place and time. We have war. We have violence. I'm very concerned with about the Monday's demonstrations that's happening around this country. And I pray that they will go on without a hitch. And I can't believe that the California, the California has approved of the no school, and to support these demonstrations on Monday. And the illegal immigration, they're looking to close down cities. They want to close down L.A. They want to close down New York. They want to close down Chicago, Phoenix, Kansas City.
And this is exactly what our leaders want. They're the ones.
What they want.
They have actually been working for years to create this problem because they want to be able to disrupt our society, to begin to play the Hispanic against the white against the black against the Hispanic. They know exactly what they're doing. Had they enforced the laws against hiring illegal aliens, they wouldn't be here. But you see, they haven't enforced them. Oh, well, they did do one enforcement last week after years of dereliction of duty. But you see, this whole thing has been funded by the Ford Foundation, been funded by our own government, funding LULAC and Maldave and La Raza, all of these racist organizations for illegal aliens. You couldn't do such a poor job unintentionally. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. We're talking about really what's happening financially, and of course, the rise of this last week has just been phenomenal. Of course, about a week ago we saw the rise in gold and silver, and then the price backed off again. But it's come back again, and it's come back with a fury. And I really believe, of course, as the dollar continues to drop, the price of gold and silver will go up. Now, it's not really going up. It's just going up in relationship to the dollar. But eventually, of course, it's going to come out on its own, because recently the chief economist for the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, came out and said, we've got to do something to begin to balance the various economies throughout the world, and one thing would be to get back to a gold-backed currency. The leaders know exactly what's going on. The central banks are hanging on to their gold. They're just trying to convince you gold has no value, whereas they know that whoever has the gold rules. That's the golden rule. And believe me, the central banks are maintaining their gold base. And what's really happening, of course, is the women over in India are demanding gold bracelets. Gold. The women in India love gold, and so do people in China as well. They're a lot smarter than the average American, who honestly believes that the greenback is as good as gold, and it's not. It's simply paper. And contrary to everything you're being told, they're increasing the money in circulation, M3. They don't report it anymore, but certainly Bob Chapman says it's going, what, about 10 or 11%? Melody, what's he say?
About 10%.
Now, what you understand that if you increase the money 10% a year, you decrease the value of the currency about 10% a year, and inflation's really running about 10%. Look and see what the price of gasoline is and tell me that we've got a 2% inflation. Look and see what's happening to the price of houses and of health care and of food and of electricity, and tell me that we only have a 2% inflation rate. And they're simply lying to the American people. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, they're not going to be able to lie much longer. As I said, you have the, you know, I hate to call them Joe Sixpack, but I mean, the people out there, they are being hurt. They are being hurt by the gasoline. They're being hurt by, I mean, personally, I believe inflation's higher than 10%. I mean, what we've seen in the cost these past couple of years, they just continue to rise. But you know what? That $20 gold piece from 100 years ago will buy you the same thing today as it did then. And that's how gold protects your purchasing power. And I believe people need to have about 80% in gold in their portfolio and 20% in silver. A lot of people say, well, Melody, silver has a greater percentage of opportunity to rise. And yes, it does. But gold is a monetary metal. That's why you want it in your portfolio, and you use silver as an investment, for a speculative investment, for a great performance. They will both do very well, but gold protects your purchasing power, and that is why it's so important that you purchase that and remain about 80 to 20. I mean, you can be 80 or, you know, 75, 25, but you definitely should be heavier in gold than in silver. And you have to be careful with some of these pie-in-the-sky promises and guarantees. You know, silver can be great, but it can also be very volatile. It's a small market, so it can be moved very easily by professional buyers. We saw it before with the Hunt brothers, but it didn't maintain that $50 value very well.
This is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Melody Cedarstrom, and our guest from our program is finally getting through into Washington. Anyway, go right ahead there, Melody, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to hear from us, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly we had if you have a question or comment, well, Melody, you know, as we see what's happening, you know, certainly we talk to people all across the country, and a lot of people are really having a hard time, despite the fact that the administration is so optimistic about all the new jobs they're creating. It seems to me that an awful lot of these new jobs are very low-paying jobs. Low-paying jobs without the benefits in it. Certainly we're finding that Delta and United Airlines and Ford and Delphi and Dana and General Motors, they're all beginning to cut back on their health benefits, cutting back on their pension funds. and pension plans. You know, these were really wonderful promises that they made to their employers, but the truth of the matter is there is no way that they could possibly have maintained these through the lives of the personnel, because there's not that much of a markup in cars. And so the General Motors made all sorts of concessions and I think planned a long time ago to do exactly what they're doing today. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe it too, Dr. Stan, but you know what amazes me is the people. I mean, doesn't anybody get upset? Doesn't anybody get... I mean, it's so frustrating because many times we feel there is nothing we can do. It's almost like we have to let this whole scenario be played out. And it's just like, when will people become upset? How much are these people going to take until they say, hey, you know? But they've been so conditioned just to accept the things that happened to them. And they've been conditioned to accept what the administration does. This one, the past one, you know, how many before that? They've been conditioned just to accept it, to go along. They've been told that, we adjust to anything. You know, you have Katrina, and we haven't even hit the hurricane season yet, and oil prices for next year. I mean, actually, we've been floating along pretty good. And when things really start to impact this country come fall, you're going to see, who knows where you'll see the Dow at and everything, but it is. It's just amazing that people, they shake their head. And that's all they do.
Well, you know, the thing is, if we do attack Iran and we do knock out their nuclear facilities, I think that Iran will retaliate by blocking the Straits of Hormuz and cutting off oil, you know, to so much of the world, and that will really drive the price up. America is the mightiest nation in the world, but America is a bankrupt nation. We have real economic problems. In the past, we've talked about the fact that America was borrowing $2 billion a day, had to borrow that from other countries to keep going. Now you'll be glad to know that it's up to $3 billion a day, or almost $3 billion a day. We have to borrow from other countries to pay our bills, to just meet our present obligations. How long can you continue doing that? How long can we continue giving money to other countries? How long can we keep fighting foreign wars? It was 26 A.D., or slightly before that, when Cicero said the budget should be balanced, public spending should be limited, the arrogance of the officialdom should be tempered, and assistance to foreign countries should be curtailed, lest Rome go bankrupt. And Rome did go bankrupt, and the people lost everything. And then, of course, they changed from the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire, which is a nice name for the Roman dictatorship. And for almost almost 500 years after that, why, of course, the people were reduced to a feudal class, except, of course, for the ruling elite, and they continued doing well. So there's very little that's changed since Cicero made that statement. The budget should be balanced. The public spending should be limited. The arrogance of officials should be tempered, and assistance to foreign land should be curtailed, lest Rome go bankrupt. I think every person in the listening audience should memorize that and say it over and over again, because it's like deja vu all over again what's going on today. We're spending money we don't have, and eventually it will lead to the bankruptcy of this country. Fiscally, we're already morally bankrupt, and we're in for real trouble, because this country has turned its back on any sense of moral sanity. We've turned our back on moral sanity. We've embraced all sorts of moral practices that have led to the destruction of other nations. And it's just like exactly what happened in ancient Rome, exactly what happened in ancient Greece. And where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Why, it's muted in silence, because after all, we have a Christian president, and we have to support him. Despite the fact that he seems to think it's all right to torture people. Of course, he said he doesn't approve of it, but he'd veto any legislation that outlawed it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Melody, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Melody, of course, as we see the price of gold and silver going up, what does Bob Chapman think is going to happen this next week or two?
He thinks we're going to continue to rise, and mainly because we have the professional buyers, and it's not going to correct. It's going to continue to go.
Well, of course, we've been following Bob Prechter on the Elliott Wave Theory, and Bob Prechter has said that it's all set to take a dive. It's going to go down, and I think that he's completely wrong. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But he staked his reputation on the fact that gold and silver are going to fall to ridiculously low levels. Bob Chapman has staked his reputation on the fact that it's going to rise, and I happen to personally believe that Bob is right. I don't think you can chart these things. I think that there are certainly financial rules and financial laws that have always been there. And when we've been in this position in the past, why gold and silver have been the barometer. And you can tell, of course, that information is being suppressed on the media. When you watch your news in the evening, they will tell you what the stock market is doing, but not gold and silver. One way to tell when we're getting close to the top is when the evening news begins to talk about it, and then you know we're very close to the top and they're going to bring in the suckers. So it's certainly one of the things that you can do, and yet this is one of the most momentous things I've seen in a long period of time. I didn't realize gold was actually up, was it $17 today?
$17.70. And it even collected back down $4. We had a high of $656.50. And so we closed at the 652, so it was actually higher at one point in time. But I mean, I agree with Bob, because I think when you have, you can't predict what will happen to markets when you don't have a free market by charts. I mean, they just don't work. I mean, we don't have a free market, so I can't imagine how charts, I mean, they can work to a point, but when you have emotion and you have other factors that come into play, I just don't think you can, you know, bet on charts and wavists and theorists in order to predict what a commodity, particularly one like gold, will do in the upcoming weeks and months.
Well, I think the important thing is to realize it's been manipulated for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's still being manipulated, but they've lost control of it.
This is
the thing. They've been trying for years to keep it down. They've been dumping it on the market. They've gotten Barrick and the other companies to hedge their future production to keep the price down, but it's lost. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and Melody does support Radio Liberty and helps bring these programs, but we enjoy having her on because we think it is so important that at least some of our listeners heed our warning and begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. And I really sincerely believe that we are going to see a rise in the price of gold and silver. I think we're going to see inflation in America. I think that the government is, or I should say the Federal Reserve, is expanding the monetary supply and the availability of money to try to keep this whole thing from collapsing. But you can only do that for a certain period of time. Now, we have been exporting our inflation for a long period of time. We have the luxury of being able to do that. And all these other countries have all these dollars. Now, a lot of those dollars are coming back into this country. You read about all of our exports. What a lot of those exports are products that are made by foreign-owned companies in the United States. There are literally thousands of top-notch American companies that have been bought up by foreigners, whether it's in the grocery business or in the mining business or in so many different businesses here, are actually foreign-owned, and, of course, their profits will leave this country. But the average American doesn't understand that. When you, of course, have these massive deficits, what do the other countries do with their dollars? Well, they're not going to just sit on them. They're going to want to invest them in something. They're buying American bonds with that, and they've been driving the price of bonds down. That's why the price of bonds is going down, while we have an inverted interest ratio, where the interest rates on short-term bonds is higher than the interest rate on long-term bonds. But and that, of course, really foretells deflation. It's coming. When it's going to come, I don't know. But although everybody's telling you how good things are, I really don't believe it. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, you agree or disagree, love to hear from you. Well, Melody, certainly as you are talking to people across America, you mentioned that a lot of these people are new buyers. They haven't been buying before.
Well, we've got some new buyers, but actually the people that upset me the most are people who listen to your program, the people who listen to my program, and Bob Chapman, and they'll call me and they'll say, Melody, I got this cash and I don't know what to do with it. And it just amazes me that these people that know what's going on and they sit with CDs full of cash knowing that every day the value of those dollars are losing with the dollar decreasing and with inflation rising. And to me, sometimes I just don't get it. I don't understand, you know. And it's almost like, you know, again, perhaps it's the conditioning of the people. They just feel safe with having the cash. And I can't stress it enough. Gold is cash. And you've got to take the step. You've got to take that first step. You've got to take control. You've got to make that decision and begin to protect your purchasing power. Gold is the only thing in today's world that will help you with that. And I don't know if, I don't do a well enough job in I think I do a great job in presenting why people need to own gold. And it's just something that they just can't step over and do. I don't know what they're waiting for. They know the market's not going to go higher. They know we're going to have a correction in the market, but yet they continue to own stocks. And it just baffles me that they will wait. They will wait until that Dow breaks 9,500. They will wait until that Dow breaks 9,000. And then they can't get out of the market fast enough. But until it does, they'll wait. They'll wait for something to happen before they do. They become just as complacent as a lot of the people that don't know what's going on. Because, I don't know why, I don't know. But
I would like to say that, certainly there's no guarantee that anybody's going to make a lot of money in gold or silver. But there is a guarantee that you'll maintain the value of your wealth. Because certainly dollars depreciate in value. As you increase the monetary supply, you decrease the value of the currency. Today in the world, there are over $10 trillion. And, of course, a lot of that is not currency. It's all bank interest. It's euro dollars. But well over $10 trillion. And behind that is about $700 billion in currency in circulation. And all the rest of it is simply make-believe money. And even the dollars that are currency in circulation are make-believe because there's absolutely nothing behind them. We have, actually at the present time about $1 trillion in gold. And nobody's telling you that. What they do is they have $11 billion in gold valued at $40 an ounce. Why do they do that? Just to confuse you, because they don't want you to know that they want some gold backing for our currency, because they realize when the whole thing comes tumbling down, they want something that they can start in all over again. So right now we hold $11 billion in gold at $40 an ounce, which, of course, if you calculate that out, it's pushing not quite $1 trillion, but getting pretty close there with the current value. So they know exactly what they're doing, but they certainly don't want you to know. Well, we've got Judy calling from Georgia here. Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask a question.
Go ahead.
She was talking about, investing in gold instead of in CDs and so forth. I think the American people, they're conditioned kind of in their mind in investing that when you invest in a CD, when you invest in stock and so forth, you're investing in the United States, in companies, in helping them get ahead. And it's a win-win situation. You're helping yourself, plus you're helping them. And I don't think people understand where the good to the nation is in investing in gold. Yeah, that helps you, but it doesn't help America.
All right. How would you respond to Judy?
Well, if I heard the question correctly,
In other words, how would investing in gold is good for you, but how is it going to help America? Do you have an answer for that? If not, I will have one.
Well, I'll tell you what, investing in the stock markets, I don't believe helps America. It helps Wall Street, it helps the elitists, and it helps them to finance the, for lack of a better word, destruction of America. I believe by purchasing gold, it helps individuals, and that's who we need to be concerned about, individuals to protect themselves and to protect their purchasing power against the problems that this country faces, and that will affect each and every one of us.
But isn't that a defensive posture instead of an offensive posture?
Well, how would you take the offensive, Judy?
Well, I just think that when you invest in people, no matter where it is, if they're trying to get in business or if they need some help getting ahead, or if a company is struggling and you want to help them, if they're a sound company, I think that is building up the kingdom of America.
I see. The kingdom of America?
It is our kingdom. It's our country.
I see. But do you know anything about the Trilateral Commission?
Pardon?
Do you know anything about the Trilateral Commission?
The Trilateral Commission.
The Trilateral Commission is a cabal of the 300 or 400 men who really control the Federal Reserve Board. In fact, Alan Greenspan and certainly Paul Volcker both came from there, both chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. If you go back and read Barry Goldwater's wonderful book, With No Apologies, he will tell you how this is a small cabal that wants to control the world, and they want to do it, first of all, by taking control of the American government and then using the military and financial power of the United States to take over the world. He says they're going to control the monetary, the ecclesiastical, the educational, and the corporate system of America and of the whole world. I think that what you want to do, of course, you can do exactly what you want to, and if you want to invest in the stock market now, you go ahead and do it. But I would suggest that the thing to do right now is to take a very defensive position, because I think that most of the people invest in the stock market are going to lose everything. But you may be right and I may be wrong. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Well, I just don't think you ever go wrong by investing in people around you that you want to see get ahead.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much for calling, Judy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Richie, who's calling from New Orleans. Hi, Richie. How are you?
Good evening, Dr. Stanley and Melanie.
Hello, thank you.
Who is that, Julie?
Judy calling from Georgia.
Judy.
And she thinks we ought to invest in people rather than try to protect ourselves for the difficult times that come ahead.
That sounds like a cliche, that's something Hillary Clinton would say.
Well, I'm sure she means she's very, very sincere. And it really sounds very good, but I think that, of course, right now we have to look after ourselves, we have to look after our families, and then we'll be in a position to help other people. Because if this whole thing collapses, as I anticipate it will, and as God brings judgment upon this country,
indeed,
I think that many of these startup companies are going to be in real trouble. But that's just my opinion. Did you have a question for Melody?
Yes, I do. I hear her touting gold, which I have no objection to, but as a poor man, working man, I can maybe every other month scrape up, well, it's up to almost $300 a tube now for silver, which is what I've been acquiring. I almost have 100 ounces now. In the event it does go to $50, $60, $70, $100 an ounce, say I do, that does get the value of $100,000, what would $100,000 buy in the market at that inflated rate?
All right, that's a good question. What would you do if Richie's silver went to $100,000? How would you tell him to invest it at that point?
I'd say congratulations. Actually, it's something that we're going to have to wait and see. I believe there will be investments that come along. I mean, we see how overpriced real estate is now, and we're going to have a big correction in the real estate market. So, you know, land is always a great investment if it can be bought properly and it's not overpriced. So I think there will be investments along the way, and because I do believe we're going into times that, you know, we've read about, but it's pretty much just a wait and see. Same way with the gold buyers. Depending on what gold you buy, and, you know, if you buy the numismatic coins, you can always trade those and buy bullion coins, because that's what an investment is. You want to purchase something that increases. You want to be able to increase what you're holding. And you can do that with numismatic coins. You can sell those and buy the bullion coins. But it's something that we'll have to wait and see as we see the prices rise and other investments come along.
Well, I meant specifically in relation to this history of, say, the Weimar Republic, where they were rolling in wheelbarrows full of Deutschmarks of $100,000. And what kind of purchasing power would a person have if gold or silver were to reach those rates where you could change them in for that kind of money, but then what would that money be worth, is what I'm asking.
It wouldn't be worth anything. Of course, what you want to do is ride them up as high as you can, and probably when you get a silver up as high as it's going to go, switch it over into gold. And then, of course, you hold on to the gold, and eventually this whole thing will collapse, and there'll be a deflation, there'll be an opportunity to buy some things at a very, very good price. Because all of the housing, we saw what happened in Japan, where after their skyrocketing inflation, why property values sometimes went down 80 or 90%. So you can pick up property in Japan very, very cheaply now.
Indeed. Thank you all very much.
So the thing is that, just keep listening, and I don't know when the top is going to be, but I'll hope that we'll be able to figure it out, and then go from silver into gold, because gold, of course, is the currency that has always been stable. And for the people out there, we are entering some very, very difficult times. I believe we're going to go into runaway inflation, very similar to what they had in the Weimar Republic. And the money that you have invested in so many things may become worthless. This is the great tragedy. Anything else there, Richie? I guess we lost Richie, so let's go to Ben calling from Aruba in the Caribbean. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's nice talking to you. Dr. Stan, I'm just calling to let you know that the topics that you so often mention are so true. How certain key people want to dominate the world economy down in Aruba. We have a case going on right now with, it really depends a lot on tourism. And overnight, this island has been turned upside down. We have the same problems that you have up north in the United States with illegal immigration, people coming from all over the world, and the economy, people are very dissatisfied. I'd like to let you know that when you say a prayer tonight for your country, that you include Aruba, we're going to tremendous changes down here. And it's mostly an economy driven by, U.S. dollars, so to speak. And I just wanted to fill you in on that, Dr. Stan.
All right, God bless you. This is what's happening really throughout the world, though.
Yeah.
We're creating an artificial prosperity everywhere in the world. And we're, but it's all built upon paper dollars. And certainly it's been a great ride, but when this whole economic situation begins to collapse, it's sort of like, playing musical chairs, there are two chairs and 10 people playing. And when the music stops, two people are going to have a seat and the other 8 are going to be just standing there wondering what to do with, and they're out of the game. And I really feel that this is what's going to happen to so many people in the world. Especially those that are head over heels in debt.
Yes, Dr. Stan. And as you said, Dr. Stan, the U.S. economy drives the whole world. What happens in the U.S. Has an effect throughout the world, Dr. Stan. And just yesterday, there was a lady who was telling me that they don't know what's going to happen here, that eventually those people who are used by living at the high end of life, won't be able to cope with it, because he says that we'll have to start from scratch again, putting pennies by pennies to make a living.
Well, I think an awful lot of people are going to lose everything in the days that lie ahead. Our plea is at least take some precautions to protect yourself and diversify. Ben, God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice night.
And Melody, I want you to get your telephone number and your webpage out for us.
My telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. And again, that is 1-800-375-4188. And you can visit the website, and it's a long one, so discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, and that is with and spelled out. That is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And we do a great job at putting together portfolios. I think we're one of the few companies, we don't carry a minimum, because I believe everybody needs to own gold. I only ask that my minimum buyers pretty much buy what we have in inventory so we don't have to go out and purchase it. So, you know, we can help you and you can help us too at the same time.
And your telephone number one more time.
1-800-375-4188.
All right, fine. That's Melody Cedars from Hang On. We'll just be wrapping up the program here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Melody Cedars from. We've just been talking about what's going on in the world today. And we just want to act as an early warning service to warn people that difficult times lie ahead. And begin to prepare in every way. Begin to prepare physically, financially, and certainly spiritual for those times. We may well be in a war within a year. And this is my fear that they seem to have already made up their decision to go to war with Iran for no real reason other than it's going to inflame the entire world. And of course, I believe bring a tremendous tragedy to our own country. And, of course, all we would need would be one atom bomb in New York, and it would spell the doom for our economic system. Melody, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
They need to review their finances, and because if you have any questions about your portfolios, if you already have a gold and silver portfolio, I'd be more than happy to review it. Sometimes you can maybe enhance them by maybe changing something around. I do not believe in trading coins. Usually you keep what you have, but I do realize that a lot of wrong product has been sold over the years, so sometimes you can turn things around so that your portfolio performs a little bit better. Of all the years we've been in business, every one of our customers is making, they're making money in their portfolios. We take a sensible approach. I can give example upon example upon example, and I take each coin and tell people how it performs and what it does, because I never sell one coin to everybody, because I believe each person has their own objectives, your own views, and what you want your gold to do. I can only tell you what I would do and put together portfolios, what I think would give you the optimum performance for your precious metals portfolio. And I diversify. I believe people need to be diversified in there. And sometimes I get upset. I hear sometimes more coins, more gold bullion coins, or more gold extra fine coins are better to have than maybe a numismatic coin. Well, I can give example after example showing where you can have 30 to 40 or 50 more coins and you won't get as good a performance on owning more gold bullion or gold extra fine coins. So I educate, and I think by educating the people in the precious metals, they can become involved in making decisions in their portfolios.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much, Melody. Talk to you again next month. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I do want to comment that I will be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference, and that's on May 27th, May 28th of this year. It's over in Santa Clara at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. If you'd like to have more information, the number is 209-832-0999. It's 209-832-0999. I will tell you that there are a lot of fascinating people there. Jim Maher is going to be there, John DeCamp, Will Thomas, Ted Gunderson, and certainly other people that I know. Some of the people there I would disagree with, but you'll hear all of sides of the political discussion and even the spiritual discussion, and I'll be giving my talk on the financial tsunami and, of course, try to bring it up to date on what's really going on economically in America. So, again, that's the 27th to 28th. If you want to get more information, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. And then, of course, we want to mention my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you'll get it, you'll read it, and you'll understand the spiritual forces that are going on behind the scenes. You have to understand the Trilateral Commission, their stranglehold on our government, and they are simply one of a myriad of occult organizations working at the highest level of our government. Why do I say they're an occult organization? Why? Because they're dedicated to world government. They're dedicated to the destruction of American sovereignty. They're dedicated to a new world religion, and they have a logo, and that logo is made up of three sixes with an upside-down broken cross in the center of it. Now, if there was ever a logo that told a story, three sixes and an upside-down broken cross, and yet, of course, the Vice President of the United States was appointed by these people to lead our country, and if you really think George Bush makes any of the decisions or even writes his own speeches, you've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. George Bush is simply a figurehead for the power elite that has an agenda, and that is, of course, the destruction of America's national sovereignty and the establishment, first of all, a unified North America and then the unified world. So for those of you who are out there in the listening audience and want to know more, you'll want to be getting the material that's available through Radio Liberty. When our April newsletter is finished, you'll certainly want to get a copy of that. We'll be glad to send you free a copy of our February or March newsletters if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly. You can listen to our shortwave programs. You can listen to our Telstar 5 programs. And, of course, on Telstar 5, there's not only myself, but Joyce Riley and Pastor Chuck Chris Meyer and Pastor Butch Palm. But we have a 24-hour satellite up there to give you top-quality programming 24 hours a day. We need to get the truth out. We can't do it alone. We need your help. We need you to tell others and help get the truth out. And so, until later, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring, and we have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Michelle Tatro, and we're going to be talking about spy chips. And certainly, I never forget an advertisement that was on television a couple of years ago. It showed a fellow in a grocery store, and he was wearing a big, heavy overcoat. He'd walk up and down the aisles, and he'd look around to make sure nobody was watching, and then he'd stuff things off the aisles, off the counters and off the shelves into the pockets on the inside of the big coat he was wearing. And then as he began to leave the store without going through the check stand, a man runs up to him and says, "Sir, sir." And he looks back almost frightened, and the clerk is saying, "Here, sir, here's your receipt." Because, of course, everything he'd gotten had been marked, and they were able, of course, with their meters, to know everything he'd taken, and he smiled and thanked the man for his receipt. That is the world we are moving towards, a world where you will never buy nor sell unless you wear the mark of the beast or to be known by the number of his name. And a lot of this is being coordinated by something called RFID, radio frequency identification. They're putting these onto your jeans, Levi jeans are going to have them now. They were just talking today about how they're increasingly in the stores. And, that some people are frightened of this. But, really, it's so beneficial. It's so great to have these RFID, these radio frequency identifying devices, so that they can track what people are buying and what people are interested in. And then, of course, they can restock the shelves. And, well, Michelle, of course, I think like most of us, we're simply a mother, a child in school, and her child comes home with a little card around his neck. I'm going to let you take the story from there, Michelle.
Certainly. It started about a year ago, January of 2005. Our elementary school, then eighth grade daughter, came home from school. I picked her up, and she got in the car very angry and turned around and shut the door and then turned around and shoved a badge out to me and said, "Look at this. I'm a grocery item. I'm a piece of meat. I'm an orange." And at first I didn't understand what she was talking about, but then she had this badge in her hand. It was hung around her neck on a lanyard. And at first I just thought it was a school badge. The school had been talking about possibly instituting a badge system. And then the next day she came home announcing that there was something in this badge that allowed them to track her. And that kind of raised the hairs on the back of my neck, and I said, "What do you mean, track you?" And she said she noticed that there were these boxes installed above the classroom doors and even above the bathroom door, and that whenever she walked underneath it, it read her badge. There was a lump on the back of the badge, and that's when we were beginning to realize that there was something in there. And so my husband and I told her that she and the student body president needed to approach the principal and let him know that the students didn't like this and that they should make their, sentiments known that they didn't like this tracking. All the while, my husband and I were standing back thinking, I think we're going to have to get involved with this. So a couple days later, we accepted an invitation from another couple who had already prearranged an appointment with the principal to go in and talk.
You hold that thought there. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Michelle Tatro telling about how they're starting this in schools all across America, tracking our children. All right, Michelle, go ahead and pick up the story.
Thank you. We attended a meeting with the principal, vice principal, the president of this company, the school computer teacher, and the other parents, and for several hours we discussed what was in these badges, what RFID was, and the purpose that the school had behind this. And the other parents decided at that point to notify the principal in person that they weren't going to allow their child to be tracked. And the principal got very upset and said there was going to be, quote, big problems. Well, my husband and I decided beforehand that we were going to go home and investigate what this was on the Internet before we made our intentions known. And when we got home, we started looking around on the Internet as to what RFID was, because we didn't know. We're not in the technology field.
You didn't know what a spy chip was then?
At that time, we had no clue.
You weren't listening to Radio Liberty.
We were not.
Programs on, go right ahead.
And so when we got on the Internet and started poking around and trying to learn what this was, literally we were sickened when we realized that it was a tracking device, and that not only could the school track her, but most disturbingly is that somebody off campus could track our child while she was on school grounds. And that's when we really amped up our efforts at the school, and several other parents in the community did join us, and eventually through media interviews, and we even picketed. The school held a special school board meeting, and the technology company who supplied this decided that it was in their best interest, because the media reports were not favorable, that they should pull out.
No, well, what was their justification for wanting to track all the children?
Well, it would flip-flop. At first, they were trying to sell it as an attendance program. And then they had to admit that they'd never lost any attendance money based on inaccurate attendance taking. And then they wanted to say, oh, it was a safety program. And we pointed out the flaws in their safety program, and they chose to ignore them. They didn't believe that people could track the children as well as they could track the children. But our research showed that a small handheld device that could be built or bought off the Internet for under $500 could indeed pick up a signal from a chip worn around a child's neck.
How far away could they pick it up?
It does vary by the strength of the antenna and whether it was a passive device, which just has an antenna, or whether it was an active device and had a battery, which ours were passive devices. But it could be anywhere from a few inches to some estimates by the State Department as far as 30 feet away.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Michelle Tatra. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michelle Tatra, and we're talking about the spy chips that were actually put into a identification badge that her daughter was required to wear. And of course, when they went to the principal, he said if they objected, there could be a lot of problems.
We have unsubstantiated reports that they appeared at a Texas school administrator's conference, and I was even asked by a reporter for a large paper to confirm if they had put it in another school in March, and I can't confirm because I don't have conversations with the company.
Now, what do you think the real reason behind this is? Is it just to make money? Why would they want to be, monitoring a daughter when she goes to the bathroom?
They said it was to possibly solve the question of who was committing vandalism acts in the bathroom, which we pointed out it would only prove the fact that she went in the bathroom. It didn't prove that she did anything in there that was vandalizing. So I really think that the whole thing boiled down to money. There seems to be a bit of a conflict of interest in this small town in between the developers who work at a local high school, or the local high school in town, and one of them is on the elementary technology board, and the fact that money was paid to the school to do this and then promised more money back to the school for every unit sold after the successful test. I really think it all boils down to money.
And so you think that they just wanted to sell this the system to the schools. But it sounds to me like they were actually paying the school. In other words, the school was sort of a trial to see how it would go over.
That's how it was portrayed, that they gave the school $2,500 to test this system and to make reports back to the company. And then with the successful test data, they'd hoped to market it to other schools, and then they promised the school they would give them a kickback for each and every unit sold beyond the test program.
Well, that was a pretty good deal for the... Now, who's going to get that money? Was that going to be the school board? Was that going to be the principal?
We never got a definitive answer, but it was assumed or insinuated that it would be for the good of the school.
Well, what did the school board say? Did they know anything about this program, or were they been advised of it?
They definitely did, and despite our pleas to... please understand the technology as it really was and not look at dollar figures, they dug their heels in and said the testing would continue.
And then, of course, what happened? How did you finally able to get the school board to back down?
The school board didn't back down. The company finally pulled out of the school, citing unfavorable media. Because by the time the school board said, no, the test is going to continue, we had started researching on the internet for people who might help us, such as privacy and technology experts. We did call the ACLU of Northern California, and soon people started coming to our aid and helping us with writing letters to the school district, and then the media started covering it as a, this is not a good thing, you really shouldn't be doing this, and then the company, maybe to save face to the school board, but the company is the one that pulled out of the contract.
Well, I think it's really very interesting that they keep pushing all the time to see how far they can get. They want to put these things into jeans. I just read a note today that Levi Jeans is going to start putting these spy chips into their jeans. And certainly Walmart wants to use this on a lot of their products. They always have a good explanation as to why, but you see, once you buy something that has a spy chip in it, then if you go past a meter, they can identify you, and you say, well, what's to be concerned about as long as I haven't done anything wrong? And people don't understand. This is what you do in a totalitarian society. You want to track everybody and everything. That's why so many people are concerned to know that the army, our own army, is tracking every citizen in this country, collecting dossiers on every citizen. And then, of course, how much more easy it'll be when you have things with spy chips in them. And then wherever you go, there'll be a monitor, and they'll know where you are. And the next thing, you'll know what you're thinking and what you're saying and everything about you. These
Absolutely.
Are the earmarks of a totalitarian society. Well, were a lot of the other parents really upset about this, as upset as you were?
They were, and they helped us in pressuring the school to have it come out of the school. And from there, though, my husband and I vowed that we would continue on with the fight, because even though we were happy that we helped influence the decision to get it out of the school, we knew that wasn't the end of it, because it would crop up in somebody else's school or some other neighborhood or some other form. And thinking ahead that our children as adults would be subjected to this, or even our grandchildren, really, really scared us.
All right, and Gerson, then you've got into this whole thing of spy chips. Have you read the books entitled Spy Chips?
I've read both of the books. I've read Spy Chips, the How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID by Catherine Albrecht and Liz McIntyre.
Right.
And then just recently they've come out with a second edition, the so-called Christian edition, which is called The Spy Chips Threat, Why Christians should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance. And they're both excellent books, and they really do paint a true picture as to what's going on. They're almost written as a conversation between friends, but it's backed up with the documentation of where this information is found. It's not opinion. It's backed up as fact, as almost written like a school paper.
Well, now, what can you tell us about the spy chips? What have you found about them, about their use, and about their danger?
The fact that no one would know that their chip has been read is extremely disturbing. I could have my purse securely in my possession, and my personal information on my driver's license could be read without my knowledge anywhere I go, and I travel. And that is not something that you would share with strangers. You would want to keep that information private. The fact that even if you gave that information to somebody for them to, document something that somebody could eavesdrop and grab that information. So maybe I've traveled outside the country. Somebody could also eavesdrop that if it was in my passport, which it has plans of coming in it. The fact that any information could be put on the RFID chip because it would hold much more than a barcode. It could have biometric information such as your facial features, and that could also be taken without your knowledge. And the fact that there's no way to track who grabbed that information. So unlike following a computer trail, you can't see who's hacked into the information. It's gone. It's a radio wave. There's no way of knowing who got it.
I know. Aren't they talking about putting these things into our passports and our driver's licenses?
The State Department had plans to go full force into the passports, and our FUS, if you will, and other groups like the business travelers groups and, of course, other civil liberty groups has got the State Department to reconsider the ideas that they would put them in without any protection. But the protection is minuscule because it basically amounts to a shielding device. But again, you open up the passport, somebody could eavesdrop and grab that information. And the California Senate bill that I've been working with is called Senate Bill 768, and it's authored by Senator Joe Simidian out of the Simi Valley. And we address the fact that because this technology is subject to such concerns, we think that in your driver's license or your California ID card or your K-8 or your K-12 school card or your library card or your government benefits card such as food stamps or medical care, that this type of technology should not be included because it's not secure. It's subject to hacking and cloning. And that is what we've been trying to effect on the state level, is to ask for this timeout in this bill and for other uses that are currently ongoing, such as people getting into workplaces, that there needs to be precautions in place to ensure that nobody's tag could be scanned or cloned. Up until then, this wasn't addressed in any form of legislation in the state of California.
Well, let's hope and pray that you're able to get that thing through. And, of course, you know, to a lot of people, they don't see anything wrong with it. They trust the government, but they've forgotten what Thomas Jefferson said. In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down to mischief with the chains of the Constitution. Our government was based upon mistrust of government. Knowing full well that when the government fears the people, there's freedom, but when the people feel the government and is subservient to the government, then there is tyranny. And I think it was John Adams who said that every man can become a tyrant.
Yeah.
And of course, this has been the way it is down throughout all history, when officials become tyrannical, and so it's so important that we not be subjected to them. That is the very essence of what freedom was about. Liberty and limited government were synonymous.
Yes.
And tyranny and total government were synonymous. And there are people who have a different worldview than I think Michelle and I do. And they want to regulate and watch and monitor everything we do. And they want to know when you go to the library and when you come to the school and when you leave the school and when you go to the bathroom and who you're in contact with. They want to monitor every aspect of your life. These are not people like you and I, but there are people like that. Their ultimate goal is control. So I think this is such an important subject. And if you have a question or comment for Michelle, because she's on the front lines of the battle, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We do carry the book Spy Chips. We think it's an important book, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-1, because America truly is under attack today. Well, Michelle, are many of the people in your community as concerned as you are? Is it simply you and your husband have taken this on as a almost like a crusade?
Well, I have the good fortune to be self-employed, and so I can control my schedule, my work schedule. So I have been able to adjust it so I can fight this with my husband's support, but he doesn't have control of his work schedule. So I've been working with Senator Simbidian and the ACLU and Eagle Forum of California, just to name a few of the groups, to support this legislation. We've been lobbying our elected officials, and so far the response has been pretty good, but I think what needs to happen is people need to let their elected officials know that they don't support monitoring by the government or anybody with such technology in their IDs, and they need to contact their elected officials and let them know that they want them to support Senate Bill 768.
That's Senate Bill 768?
Yes, Senate Bill 768, and a really easy way to let your officials know this is to actually log on to the ACLU website, www.aclunc.org, and there you're going to see a picture of a woman holding up her hands with an RFID chip on it, and it says, "Don't chip away my rights." If you click on that, it's going to bring you to a section where you can actually click on to contact your legislator. You can fill in your zip code, and it automatically will send your letter that you can either craft or you can follow a text, and it will be sent to your elected official, Assembly and Senate, saying that you want them to support Senate Bill 768.
Well, it's a strange thing when we find the ACLU and Eagle Forum both on the same side, but I think on this issue, you take your allies where you can get them. And Eagle Forum are certainly headed by our good friend Phyllis Schlafly,
yes,
arch right-wing conservative, and the ACLU on the opposite end of the political spectrum, and yet both are concerned about this this real attack on freedom. And this is really what it's all about. So in this instance, why, I think fine. I wish that everybody was speaking out. I wish that the churches were speaking out on this. I don't know why they're not. I mean, if they have ever read the scriptures and they know that there will come a time when you'll neither be able to buy nor sell, lest you wear the mark of the beast and be known by the number of his name, which is 666. And you see these things coming to pass, and people just have their head, buried in the clouds, or, they worship the ground their head's buried in. They have to realize that these things are not imaginary. This is planned, this is programmed, and they're taking it step by step by step. And certainly the company would back away under pressure, but they'll be back again under one means or another, I'm sure.
That's why we felt the need that we really had to get legislation enacted that would prevent this, because up until now there is no law saying they can't. So they have the right to profit and sell a product that is harmful until it is enacted that they can't. And so our first step is to fight it on the state level. And then we do intend to continue on to pressure and make change on the national level, but we had to start somewhere, and we chose the state level.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did. Now, what sort of response are you getting from the other members of the Senate there? Hold that. I will be back in just a moment with Ms. Altatro.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. I guess this evening, Michelle Tatro, we're talking about spy chips. We're talking about the program where all the children in their school were to wear a little tag around their neck that had a spy chip in it. And, of course, they had all sorts of excuses for it. But, of course, when the pressure came from the parents, why, they backed away. Now, Michelle is working then on a Senate bill, 168, to try to outlaw these things. Now, what sort of response are you getting from the other senators?
If I could, the correction is, it's Senate Bill 768.
Oh, 768. Okay,
yes,
thank
please.
You. 768. Go ahead.
When we started last year in the Senate, we got wonderful bipartisan support. But as we moved on to the Assembly side, it doesn't seem that we're getting the Republican support. It's not as overwhelming. It's baffling to me why. We're hearing them saying that it's bad for business. And Senator Simbidian was awarded just a year before we started out with this bill an award from, I believe it was the American Electronics Association, in his pro-business technology stance. and he certainly knows that his constituents depend on that, that their livelihood is in the technology field. And I don't really think he's trying to hurt any of them, and he understands the language of this bill. We've worked very hard on it, that it's not anti-business, but it is pro-privacy. And I don't know where this idea has come up other than the fact that big businesses have put together lobby efforts and are trying to sell it as a anti-business bill.
Certainly, I agree that this is not anti-business. It is a pro-privacy issue. Kurt calling in Santa Cruz. How are you doing?
Fine. I am privy to, you know, this is an area of Silicon Valley. We have a lot of pretty incredible scientists in this area.
Yes.
And I was given some information from one of them, who is fairly high up in the Silicon Valley, in one of the Silicon Valley companies, that all the new cell phones have chips in them. All the new cell phones, wherever you go, they know, you know, unless you leave your cell phone home. And with some of the old ones don't have them. Some of the older ones you can shut them off. But from what I understand, the new ones, wherever you go, they know you're there.
No, would that be satellite tracking? Is this an RFID chip, or is this a different type of a chip?
I'm not technologically that savvy, but
I know
there's something in the phone.
I know that they can basically track you if you have your phone on, and maybe they can even track you if you had your phone off. I don't know if that's RFID or maybe a different type of technology, certainly.
Yeah, I don't know the type of technology, but it used to be that when you were making a phone call, they could track you. Now they can track you at all times.
Yeah, well, of course, I think that we're going towards a surveillance society. I think there's no question at all about it. It'll be like that program, that movie, The Enemy of the State. And don't think that's so far away from being true. Anything else you want to say, Kurt?
I guess Pogo was right.
Do I have any comment at all, Michelle?
I think that Kurt is on the right track in being aware of what is happening in our society. And then I would challenge him to investigate that and get involved if he sees it as something that is not right. It came to our door, and once we investigated it, we realized it's something that we have to fight, because if we ignore it, it won't go away.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, the thing is, a few people can turn this thing back. What we need, of course, is to have people see this as part of a much bigger picture. And it is all about tracking and monitoring and controlling everyone at all times. Kurt, anything else before we
listen? Yeah, just a comment that's similar but different. Someone who's moving back in the area told me the other day that in order to sign up her student in kindergarten, this is in Aptos, in order to sign her kid up in kindergarten, she had to have an interview with the school, a public school, but she had to have an interview with the school and had to fly, moving into the area, had to fly into the area to have an appointment with the school just to sign up her kid in a public school.
Well, it's lots of things are changing.
Arrogance.
Absolutely. Well, wasn't it what it, that Cicero said? The arrogance of officialdom should be tempered.
Yes.
God bless. Thanks so much, Kurt. Bye-bye. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Michelle Tatro. We're talking about spy chips. They want to put them in the cards, but, you know, it's not going to be long before they put them in everybody. Did you know, for instance, there's legislation at the national level where every animal, every farm animal in the United States is going to have a chip in it? Yes. One of my friends called me, in fact, John Leffler, who does a program with us every Wednesday, and he was saying that he has a flock of geese. It'll cost him $500 for the chips and another $500 for the monitor so that they can keep track of their all their geese for the government. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Michelle Tatro. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And or 464-8295. We're talking about spy chips. Michelle, do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out?
I personally don't have a web page, but I would refer you to the Spy Chips web page, www.spychips.com. From there, you can get newsletters about the latest breaking news in regards to RFID. For instance, the Levi's incident that just came out, that Levi's admitted they were putting RFID in some jeans, despite a call from some 40 civil liberties groups nationwide that companies not do this. And I think by educating yourself through websites like this or doing Google searches on the internet and to find out what it is, you can not support companies such as Levi's or other companies who use this, and maybe write them a letter and tell them why you're not buying their pair of jeans or shopping in their store. It's because they're using this technology and you oppose being tracked. Because even if you buy that pair of jeans and you can take that tag off and throw it in your trash can, somebody could conceivably come along with a reader and read through your trash without ever lifting the lid. And maybe a pair of jeans isn't so embarrassing, but there might be other products that you're purchasing that you have every legal right to, but you don't want to broadcast it to your neighbors or anybody who wants to snoop in your trash.
Well, I share your opinions on this, and I think the one thing, of course, most of these companies will abide by is if there's enough of an outcry from the public, they won't go ahead with it. And certainly my understanding is that Walmart is one of the big participants in that. Is that what Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre have been saying?
That's the information that I understand, that they were one of the first nationwide companies to require their suppliers to use RFID. I can understand it from the inventory control, because that's how it started off, as a method of inventory control. But to require your suppliers to use it and then not to inform your customers so when they take home that Hewlett-Packard printer that it has an RFID tag on it, I think that's wrong. People should have the knowledge that they are being tracked even when they leave the store, that their purchases can be traced back to them.
Now, of course, there's a very good case to be made for inventory control. It's a very, very convenient thing to do, but what about the next step and the next step and the next step? So certainly we're going to have to keep track of what Walmart is doing it. And when they start putting it on the products rather than on the box, that's when we've got to let them know what we feel. Be right back.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Michelle Tatrone, our subject, Spy Chips. And, of course, we do carry the book by that title. It's written by Liz McIntyre and Catherine Albright, and we certainly sympathize with their campaign to try to make the American people understand there is a program to track everyone. Now, at one time, the American people would have been incensed by that, but it seems like we're sort of becoming more passive, and after all, we've got to fight that wicked Osama bin Laden. I mean, after all, he's over there in the cave, and if we don't fight him, he's going to take away our freedom, so we've got to let the government track everything and everybody at all times, and whether it be allowing them to monitor all of our telephone calls or emails or our faxes, whether it be putting video cameras in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our bedrooms, whether it be putting GPS localizers in our cars or the localizers in our telephones. They want to know everything you are doing, because you have the potential to be an enemy of the state. And as incredible as it may seem, there really are people out there who have a different worldview. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, Michelle is working with some of the senators on this Senate Bill 768. Now, apparently the many of the Republicans are saying this is anti-business. Well, it is not anti-business. Business has no business tracking us. And if the Republicans are going to go along with the authoritarian society, then you're just going to have to let them know. And I tell you, when they call me, on the phone, as they regularly do, because I've been involved with the Republican Party and I've been a member of the state party for many years, I eventually just resigned from the whole thing over the Arnold Schwarzenegger issue, because, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a dedicated liberal. He's always been a dedicated liberal. And the fact that the Republicans would run him to get rid of Gray Davis was, to me, the most incredible thing that I've ever seen. Under any circumstances, But I very often get calls from the Republican Party asking me for money, and so I have a nice long conversation explaining why I'm not going to give any money to them, you know, at the present time. And what we need to do is be concerned about privacy issues, and just because the ACLU is concerned doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned. And if they're going to fight this, we would certainly fight it as well. So, now, of course, have you had any criticism because, of course, you've been working with the ACLU?
I haven't had any outright criticism from people. They haven't been brave enough to say that, but I never would have dreamed that as a Republican family that we would be working on the same page as the ACLU, because we laugh about it, my friends at the ACLU now, that, you know, gosh, it really does make strange bedfellows. The most criticism we've taken has been shunning in our community. But at first that bothered us, and now we're actually kind of grateful because now we know where they stand. And if that's their viewpoint, well, if they want to hand over all their rights to anybody who just asks for them, they can do that. But in the meantime, we don't choose to.
I certainly sympathize. One of the things is that it's so easy to say, well, if the ACLU is for it, I'm against it. If the ACLU is against it, I'm for it. But
exactly.
Right now, I mean, where is Republicans who should be concerned about these issues of individual freedom under God? I mean, why are they simply going along with a fascist and what I consider a fascist agenda, which is being pushed by both the leaders of both the Democrat and the Republican Party? And where is the church speaking out against this? Have you had any, success at all in getting the church to be concerned about this idea of people being monitored?
I haven't focused on that level, but I would certainly welcome statements from churches in support of this, because we initially saw this as leaning towards the mark of the beast. It was just so glaringly apparent to us. We couldn't help but think that it was so similar. And the identity documents that we're asking it to be withheld from are things that everybody has to have in society. You have to have a driver's license if you're going to drive. If you're going to walk around the streets of the state of California, you have to have a California ID card if you don't have a driver's license. And it's pretty much impossible to do anything without those two cards, as referenced in biblical passage, that be pretty much impossible to do anything if you don't take the mark of the beast. And so it's a similarity that was very apparent to us in the very beginning.
And of course, the thing is that our recurrent theme in our program is we're really involved in the spiritual battle, but it's being fought on ideological and the cultural and a political and a financial and educational battlefield. But it's really all a spiritual battle. And once you understand that, once you see these things falling into place, why, it makes it so much easier to determine which side we should be on.
Yes, the people that started this technology, using it for tracking people, they may not have evil plans for it, but it is so accurate at what it does in tracking people in real time without their knowledge. It would be very easy for it to be turned into technology for the wrong reasons. And for that reason, we think that it's a logical stance to say, you know, until we can secure this technology to ensure that it's not eavesdropped on, or that it's not hacked into or broken into, or that it's not copied and cloned, we need to take a 3-year time out on putting it on such sensitive identity documents as driver's licenses, ID cards, student body cards, library cards, government benefit cards. Because as in recent years, it's been shown that these cards are fallible. In this year alone, in January 2006, it was reported that Dutch passports had been cracked in a matter of 2 hours, and that there's something called a VeriChip, which actually was, I believe, the first microchip, RFID microchip, that was okayed for human implantation, and that it has been skimmed and cloned, meaning somebody has unlawfully acquired the personal information off that chip and cloned, obviously copied. And then in 2006, European researchers showed that they could actually infect RFID chips with viruses, just like people are sending around the Internet. And so this technology is not secure. And in 2005, Fast Track was even breached, the Fast Track that people use to pay to go through tolls that hangs on their rearview mirror of their car. So it's not a secure technology, in that when you're holding something as sensitive as somebody's, you know, name, address, phone number, birth date, social security number, or anything that could be programmed on that chip, it really needs to be more secure than it currently is. And we think that letting the technologists do what they do and hack and clone into it and figure out the flaws is going to show that this isn't safe, and that it should be put on maybe the digital camera you intend to buy at a store, but not on your driver's license.
And I certainly agree with you. I think that we live in amazing times, Michelle. I mean, the technology that's out there, the things that a man can do, in altering the genetic structure of foods, and certainly of animals, altering the genetic structure. But, you know, the thing is that all of these things can be used for good, but they can also be used for evil. And certainly with this technology, I share your concern, and I'm really so glad that you're out there on the front lines of this battle trying to get the information out. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Michelle. And Michelle is certainly on the front lines of this battle, and I'm sure that she would probably like people to contact their state assemblymen or their state senators and tell them to get behind that bill. Would that be right?
Yes, please. If you know who your senator or your assemblyman is, send them a letter. A phone call is easy to ignore. Send them a fax. Send them an email. We have spoken to them many times in person at the Capitol, gone into their offices, had appointments with them, had appointments with their staff, and have pleaded our case. I think what it's going to come down to is they really need to hear it from the people they represent that, we are opposed to this technology. Please support Senate Bill 768 and put this sensible legislation into place before you've put it out on everybody's driver's licenses and ID cards, and there's all sorts of stalking or identity theft or worse, and then realize, oh my gosh, this wasn't a good thing after we've already spent all these millions of dollars putting it out there and untold harm to people because they have been damaged by their information going out to who knows what that's obtained a reader.
Now, of course, is a lot of the big industry solidly behind this?
The technology industries, I can't name them one by one by one, but the technology lobbyists want to say that it's secure and that we will protect you from your privacy concerns and let us handle it, is what we're kind of hearing from the industry.
This sort of trust is like, we'll never use your Social Security card for anything else but Social Security. You can trust us. And you know, we're going to pass this immigration bill for illegal aliens just one time in 1986, and we'll never have to have another immigration bill. You can trust us. Well, I mean, when could you ever trust government to ever do anything right?
Well, there's an old saying, it's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. That's kind of where we were thinking, that, you know, the people who stand to profit from it are going to tell you what they want to hear or what they want you to hear. In fact, some of the people who are supporting the use of RFID have recognized that RFID has become a dirty word. So they're starting to use words like contactless and other such words. But it's really just a spin on the same old RFID. But they want to sell it as another name. And I encourage people to educate themselves on it, either through the Spy Chips website or through the ACLU website or through purchasing one of the two books, and realize that when they hear these words, it means tracking. Even if you throw it away in your trash, someday somebody will decide to come along and scan your garbage and see what you're using, because companies want the information, and they're going to get it any way they can, either by watching you in a store what you buy or calling you up on the phone and asking you for to complete a survey or driving by your garbage can and scanning it.
And they're collecting information on everybody. Every time you go into a grocery store and you use a grocery store discount card,
yes,
all that information is being kept. If you go in and you buy, using a credit card, all that information is stored. They are keeping information on everything you do. And, of course, you say, well, gee, what do I have to worry about, if I'm not doing anything wrong? But you never know what they may consider to be wrong in the future. They want a dossier on every human being in this country, and eventually, I'm sure, on every human being in the world. So certainly we carry the books by Chips by Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre. We think it's an excellent book, and we recommend their website, www.spychips.com. If you are not concerned about your privacy now, who is going to be, and if not now, when? And if you have so little concern about, what the government knows about you, remember that initially America was a unique nation because, we did not have to worry about the government monitoring us. But there has always been this battle between those who wanted to be free and those who want to control. And I think, as I said earlier, it was John Adams that said that any man has the ability to become a tyrant. Well, we've got Kurt calling back again. Kurt, did you have another thought?
Yes, have you heard of Edwin Black, who's written a number of books? One of them is IBM and the Holocaust.
I have written it, and I have read his book. I know exactly who you're talking about, and I see the similarity with the Hollerith machines that IBM originally developed to take the census.
Yeah, for the listening audience,
yes.
The Hollerith machines, the Hollerith company was a German company owned by IBM. In the 30s, IBM kept and controlled and worked with the German companies through the Swiss subsidiaries right through the whole war.
Yeah.
At the end of the war, unlike all the other companies that got in trouble, like even the Bushes who got indicted, IBM got off scot-free. They got their machines back. They got, I think they even got damages.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Holocaust could never have been done if, or at anywhere near the degree, maybe 2 million instead of 6 million Jews. The thing is that IBM tracked every Jew, and they knew what the cards were for. They knew what they were doing, period. They had to do the programs.
Yeah.
But they had programs where they tracked every individual. Now, this is technology of 60 years ago or more. And with the Hollerith cards, they were able to just sweep up the Jews left and right and other parties they were after. Well, with what they have today, it's thousands of times more efficient. And Stan was saying, people were saying they can trust the government. No, the government has already used that information. They used it in Germany, they used it in France, they used it in several other European countries. The government, quote unquote, has already used this kind of information for ultimate evil. Of course they'll do it again.
That's our fear.
Quite well made, Kurt. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's fine.
Oh, God bless. And how would you respond to what Kurt had said there?
A quote that I try to instill in my children is that if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that is a perfect example of an innocent technology that was used to speed census taking for legitimate purposes, that it was used by somebody with evil intentions very effectively. It is how Hitler knew where everybody was that he wanted to get, is by using those census cards run through the Hollerith machines. And as Kurt pointed out, that's kind of ancient technology in the technology world if it was 60 years ago. And with this, again, I say that RFID, you wouldn't even know. You would not even have to participate in filling out the form. You carry it, they can track you in real time without your knowledge. You don't have to be rounded up and put in the ghetto. They could find you. And people say, oh, they'd have to have readers everywhere. That would be impractical. Well, all you would have to do is go by a intersection, as is used on the tollways in Texas, and the fast track is red off the freeway. And you could be tracked that way. It could track you as you get on the highway, as you get off the highway, and maybe as you entered into the door of a public building. it's not inconceivable, and this is frankly what we got nightmares out of and why we decided that once it's out of our school that we needed to continue along on the path of legislation to make sure this won't happen.
Well, I think I congratulate you for what you're doing. What's really so interesting, if our listeners are watching on the highways, you're going to see these cameras going up on the highways there. They're at stop signs in our cities. I mean, in this town up in Alaska, you know, with about 300 or 400 people, and they've got a dozen or more video cameras there monitoring everything that's going on. And you have to ask yourself, why are they doing it? Well, because they're people who really do want to control. There are people who have a different agenda. There are people who, I believe, worship a different God. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this evening has been Michelle Tatro. And Michelle, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I'd like to, again, ask your listeners to let your elected officials know that you support Senate Bill 768 through writing them or accessing them through the ACLUNC.org website. And that pointed out also that there's many other agencies or protection groups that are backing this bill, not just the ACLU and Eagle Forum. We have diverse groups such as the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the California PTA, Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, of course, Eagle Forum, Free Congress, Liberty Coalition. And so when you see such a diverse group supporting this bill, it really does make you think that you should take a second look at it and investigate why such groups from such divergent paths are coming together on this issue. I don't want to see a day when we are chipped and tracked like cattle are in our food supply. My family, myself, my children, we're not cattle, and we deserve to be treated as human beings with the respect and the dignity that a human being deserves, as does every person in the world.
And I agree with you totally, and we know that they have this program that every animal, every farm animal in this country is going to have to be chipped if they have their way about it. Every dog, every cat, it's only a matter of times. The veterinarians are pushing this. Oh, it'll be so convenient now. Oh, we won't be able to have rustling. We won't have to brand the animals. All we have to do is run them by the monitor. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is nothing that we can take lightly. We put out one fire, they light another one. We need to get people educated on the fact that there is a spiritual dimension to everything going on. And there are powerful spiritual forces that are at work today to destroy the freedom in America that was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Michelle, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real fun hour, and if we can ever help you, why, please let us know.
Well, thank you for helping us spread the word that people need to mobilize against this and join us and let your elected officials know that you don't want to be RFID chipped, and that you support this legislation.
And that's Senate Bill 768, right?
Yes, sir.
Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, that was Michelle Tatro. I hope you enjoyed our program with her. I think it's a very important subject. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I would simply mention that we do carry the book, Spy Chip. If you'd like to know more about that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have a number of interviews with Catherine Albright and with Liz McIntyre. They do a great job of trying to get the truth out about what this is about. And understand that the forces on the other side are very powerful. They have unlimited sums of money behind them, and their ultimate goal is the control of every human being from the cradle to the grave. And it seems so difficult for people to believe that anything could be that diabolical until you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And let me suggest that book. A Brotherhood of Darkness, the video, the DVD, or the book. You need to have the information. You need to help us get it out. We have a great new video. It's called World Revolution. It includes my interview with Ambassador Smith. It was done back in 1980. And Ambassador Smith was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time when our government intentionally put Fidel Castro in power, knowing he was a communist. Don't think for one minute the lie you've been told, that we just didn't know what we were doing. Oh, shucks, we made another mistake. It was the president of Egypt, President Nasser, who said, the genius of you Americans is you never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complex, stupid mistakes so that we keep wondering what you're really doing and if we're missing something. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our government does not make stupid mistakes. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to realize that there really is a secret agenda, and that is to bring about a one-world government to destroy the sovereignty of America and of every other nation in the world, and to slave all mankind, and to have everybody shipped and controlled from the cradle to the grave, and no man will buy or sell unless he wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. There are powerful spiritual forces at work, and it's about time the American people begin to realize we are involved in a spiritual battle. And join us in this battle, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, and pull down our programs and encourage your friends to listen. And for your friends who say, we don't have anything to worry about, we're going to be raptured before anything bad happens, just tell them that's just what the people of Germany thought back in the 30s. And what happens if you're wrong? What happens if the rapture comes 30 years after America's been fallen and you and your children have been enslaved or even worse, killed or tortured to death? Could this happen? Yes, it could certainly happen in America, because we've turned our back on our moral code. We no longer have the high ground. Our government actually supports the use of torture, and the average individual has no idea what's going on. Remember our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. You listen to our shortwave 4 hours a day. Telstar 5, 9 hours a day. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty.